is, and we will
rejoice.
I love that. With a little more excitement, that is great. Well, it's good to be here today. I love this. It's been a busy weekend. Busy weekend. We had a wedding here Friday evening. That was just a beautiful time. It was a great time. Yesterday, I spent all day. Well, I spent the morning at the men's breakfast here. And then the rest of the day down at Moore High School for a band competition. Saw a couple of our different students there from Choctaw and Moore, and that was neat to see. And they did the awards after an all-day band contest. They did the awards at 11 p.m. Indeed. That was a rough day. So it was a late night, but a fantastic day. It was great. So I'm a little tired, but man, always great to be in the house of the Lord. It always gives you extra energy to be here. If you would turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Chapter 32. And as you turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's the fifth book of the Old Testament. And the first five books of the Old Testament are called the Pentateuch sometimes, which means five books. So Deuteronomy is the last of those five books. And as you turn there, I just want to remind you, my message a couple of weeks ago, we talked about our words, the words we speak to one another, and the character or the foundation that lays down to tell who we really are. Because we can tell people all day long, I'm this type of a person. And I heard on the radio the other day that someone said, I don't want to be this person on Sunday morning, this person Sunday afternoon when I'm fighting for a seat at the restaurant, this person on the highway Sunday evening as I'm on my way back home or someplace, and this person at work on a Monday, and this person Friday night after I'm done with work at the clubs, and this person on the weekend on Saturday when I've got nothing to do, and we're a different person each day, and we don't want to be that. We don't want to be that. So our words that we speak truly lay out the foundation of who we are and our character and what we are. So today we're going to tweak it just a little bit, and today's message is His Word. We're going to look at His Word and the foundation that that has and what that does. And if you're in Deuteronomy chapter 32, before we read anything, I just want to tell you that in John chapter 1, you don't have to go there, but John chapter 1, and it says, the Word of God was. You want to remember that? The Word of God was. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was. And it tells us what the Word was. So in Deuteronomy 32, I find it fascinating that Eric happened to put this scripture on the very front of your bulletin also. So if you have a bulletin, look at the very front and say, oh, okay, it matches up. And that wasn't intentional, that just happened. But I thought, what a blessing that was. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And it says, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain. Let my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, for He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. They have corrupted themselves, they are not His children, because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do not thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people. Is He not your Father who bought you? Has He not made you and established you? And this is Moses' song. And he gathers the people and he makes them listen to this, and it's much longer, but that's all we're reading today. But I want to go back and touch on a couple little points there. He's out there proclaiming this thing. He says, hear my song. Hear my words. Hear the words of my mouth. But he tells his little witness is a soft and gentle rain. And if you listen, that's not too bad outside. Sounds kind of refreshing. It beats when it's beating down on the top and you think, is the roof going to hold? And one of those things, you hear the thunder clap. But he says, my speech, let my teaching drop as rain. Not come crashing down, just drop as rain. My speech distills as the dew does on the grass, as rain drops on the tender herb, makes it nice and quiet, and as showers on the grass, just refreshing the grass. And I thought, well, how fascinating is that? He's wanting his witness to be gentle. We want our witness to be good. And we want it to be positive. But I want us to look in verse 5 real quick. In verse 5, there's some very specific things. And he talks about, and we want to pay very close attention because we're going to touch on that a little later on. He says, they have corrupted themselves. They are not his children. And why are they not? Because of their blemish. So let's go back up. Moses proclaimed the word. He says, I will proclaim God's word. The name of the Lord, for he is the rock. He stands firm in the storms. His work is what? His work is perfect. His ways are what? They're just. He is the God of what? The God of truth. He is righteous. Contrasting verse 5 and 6, when we look at the people that Moses is talking about, it says they are what? They're corrupt. They are not his. They're blemished. But pay close attention. They are perverse and crooked. In other words, they're deceptive people. But he comes back in verse 6, and what does he tell us? It says he bought you, he made you, and he established you. And we have to know that he bought us. He paid the price and he bought us. And he made us, and he made us in his what? In his image. And he established us. Remember this passage. Let's get put to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 11. Chapter 1, sorry. I think I did that last time I stopped. I'm getting my books and my chapters confused, and I apologize. Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul is writing to the church, four churches around Ephesus, we're not sure, but he's writing to the church in Ephesus for sure, and maybe others. And as his style was back then, in the very beginning, he introduces himself, he identifies himself as the author of the letter, and then he identifies the recipient or recipients. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he's identifying himself to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, these are the recipients of the letter. And then usually a blessing or some well wish upon them, a good health, whatever. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to send this. And really, I wanted to use one specific section out of this. And I thought, well, no, there's so much good stuff in here. Like, I want to skip that. So we're going to read this. And I apologize a little bit for its length, but not really because it's got all the meat of it. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chooses us in him before the foundation, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And that's got a lot of stuff right there. It says he chose us. Young people here today, he chose you. He chose each and every one of you. And he chose you to be this. And he chose you to be in this world. And he chose you to be in his families. And in his settings and his places. For the adoption of his sons by Jesus Christ. Who best has to be? He goes on in verse 7 and says, In him we have redemption through his blood. We just sang about that. Nothing but the blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. verse 11, comes another fantastic promise that as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to get hold of and understand. It says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of what? His will. Not our will. Not your will, not my will, but according to His will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. And in verse 13, this is really the passage I want to focus on. It says, in Him you also trusted. In Him you also trusted, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. That's a lot of stuff. We're adopted sons and daughters, so we have to know that. By what? By His grace, He accepted us. There's a lot of us messed up and gone through different stuff. But by His grace, He accepted every one of you, myself, and He chose us. Then He tells us, hey, not only have I chosen you, by the way, you have an inheritance. We're waiting for that TV show to roll around with all the money they found in the state treasures and whatever. We want that to be our inheritance. Oh, there's a little secret. This is no secret. He tells us you have an inheritance. Now, verse 13, if you listen carefully, he says, regarding the word of truth, in Him you also trusted, but when did you trust? After you heard the word of truth. So we have the word of truth, and then after we heard that, we have trust. And we have trust in what? The gospel of our salvation. We trust in our salvation. And then when we believe, after we heard as well, he says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It was a guarantee of our inheritance. This isn't about the words we speak. This is about God's word and what He says to us and what the promise is. And young people, a lot of times, and I know I've been focusing a lot on young people lately, saying young people, because I don't want you to miss this, and I don't want you to misunderstand. There are promises in this book that He gives us. So the rest of us that aren't considered young, there's a promise. It's the same thing here. And there's some of us that are older that may not understand and may not get that. But we have to know what we read is true. And so today we're talking about His Word and what that means to us. So His Word, the Word of truth, we heard it, we trusted the gospel of our salvation. And then we believed, which gave us our inheritance. Now, if you would flip a little further over, not too far, but a little further over, we're going to Philippians chapter 2. And there's these dots that connect through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. Please listen carefully. Do all things without complaining. I think I said that loud. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? That you may become blameless and harmless. Blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of what? A crooked and perverse generation that we talked about in Deuteronomy. We just read that in Deuteronomy. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And now here we are in the New Testament. Whoa, way after Jesus Christ came, was crucified, buried, and arrested. And we're still talking about what? Crooked and perverse generation. So do all things without complaining and disputing, because we want to become blameless and harmless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Do you think we're still there today in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? Absolutely. We're in the midst of that. So we still want to do all things without complaining and disputing. Because we too want to be counted as children of God. He said we're His adopted sons and daughters. We are His children. And if we do these things, we're blameless and harmless children of God. Without fault in the midst of all these others. Not that we're perfect. Not that we're perfect. And not that we're judging other people. We need to count for ourselves. A situation at work that I had to deal with, and someone saying, well, we did this because they were doing this. And I said, oh, well, you're their supervisor. No. Hey, then you take care of yourself and let their supervisor take care of himself or the other people. You see, God says, we just walked the way we need to walk. And we're going to connect that dot in just a minute. Talk about walking in the light. We walk and be the example rather than saying, well, they weren't doing it, so I didn't feel I had to. Any of us ever played that game? I'm the only one. Okay, great. Well, forgive me, Lord. As the leader, I'm the only one here. We need to walk by example. Walk and be the example for other people to follow. And the Bible tells us that also. When you do these things, they won't be able to say, oh, look at that Christian sinner. Or they'll say, oh, look at the Christian. No, man, I'm a sinner just like you. I just have a different witness in me. So He tells us to do these things. And then He says, in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, what did He say? Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So we're to shine as lights in the world. You think the world's pretty dark out there in some places? Yes, it is. It's dark in our homes for some of us. It's dark in our schools for some of us. It's dark in our jobs for some of us. It's dark in our life for some of us. But this says, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And why do we do that? So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now listen to this in verse 17. It says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and will rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. And I just think that filled up thing, I love that. Being poured out. And I think, God, would you just fill me up today? God, fill me today, fill me every day, so that I may be poured out in full on others and to others. Because sometimes we haven't been filled up enough by the Word or by the Spirit. If we were to refresh someone with our offering that we pour out, there would scarcely be a drop or two in there. So we need to be refilled and restored every day. And we do that in His Word. And we do that through fellowship with one another. I went and saw a war room the other day. Is it war room? Is that what it's called? Well, I'm not missing in action. I'm looking for it. And it's a fantastic movie. But in the midst of that, I was watching previews of other movies, of course. And one talked about the miners that were trapped, and they were talking about what the government will do. And someone said in the thing said, yes, we know what you'll do. You'll say how concerned you are for them, and then you will turn your back on them. And in that instant, I thought, man, I do not want to be a church that says, we will care for you, we will pray for you, we will be there for you, and then we turn our back on you. And I do not want to be a pastor that does that, and I don't want to be a Christian that does it. And that really got me thinking and praying a lot in the last week. And I thought, I want to be that way. I want to say, man, I'm going to be there for you and not be there for you. I'm going to say, call me anytime. Now, I don't have my phone with me all the time, but I want to say that, not be there. And I don't want us to be that way. And I thought, I don't want to beg people to come to church. I'm tired of doing that. You just come on your own if you want to come, and don't come if you don't want to come, because that's on you. And what I do up here is between me and God, and what you do in your seat or not in your seat is between you and God. I thought, I will not beg people to come to this church. I will beg them to listen to the Word of God and to read it and open their Bibles and open their minds and their hearts and their souls, but I will not beg people to come to this church. I thought, I will not do that. I'll beg for money. We got a parking lot out there that's falling apart. Those of you that chose not to stick around for the state of the church missed it. We've got $25,000 worth of repairs in the parking lot that have to be done. On a day like today, walk out there and watch that parking lot and erode away. Then you may think, well, I've never noticed it. Walk over there and look at the cracks and take a pencil or a pen and stick it down to see how deep those cracks are. And watch how it's eroding away. You see the corner parking spot doesn't have a place to park. Why not? Because it's eroded away this much underneath it. We have to do it. So I will ask for money for that. I've got nowhere else for it to come, guys. As far as begging to come to church, I thought, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to be here for you. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm not going to say, I'll pray for you and not do it. I'm going to be filled up in this place. And we get that by fellowship with one another. And I want to be able to be poured out. I don't want to pour out and have two drops to give you guys when you are dying of thirst. This word is living and it gives life. God sent Jesus that we may have life and have it more what? Abundantly. That we may be full of Him and have Him. And yet we just slam those doors closed sometimes. We're busy. I get that. But there's others dying of thirst. And they need a drink. And they need it from us. And we don't have enough to give them to quench their thirst. Hold fast the word of life. Now just allow me to be filled and pour out to others in need. You don't have to turn here, but if you like, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. God's word. Whoever keeps his word. Whoever keeps his word. Not my word, but his word. The love of God is perfected in him. John chapter 8, verse 51 says, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. We have to abide in his word. We have to study it and know it. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. John chapter 14, verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So if you don't keep his word, you don't love him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. 1 John talks a lot about that. If we say we love him and we hate our brother, we're a liar. We make him a liar. John chapter 15, verse 7 through 8 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If my word abides in you. He says, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But this, my Father, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. He says, so you will be my disciples. Let's flip over to Psalm 119. I'll close with that. Psalm 119, a familiar passage, a beautiful passage. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 16. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Listen up, young people. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Open his word. Understand it and to know it. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let not me wander from your commandments. And listen to this in verse 11. It says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's his word. He takes it and he hides it and keeps it in his heart so that he doesn't sin against the Lord. He says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. In the last verse of this, verse 105 of that, again, familiar phrase, familiar psalm, says, your word is a lamp to my feet, and the light of my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, guiding the way and leading the way in which we should go. When there's no light down there anymore and there's just darkness in front of our steps, we have veered off the trail, my friends. We have veered off the trail. When we talk about God's word, and his promises, we have to know it. We have to read it. We have to understand it, church. We don't do that by showing up here on Sunday morning alone. You have to take this home. You have to open it up. You have to open this up and understand this to be effective Christians. I mean, if we just want to say, I want to be a Christian, great, I've accepted Christ, I'm going to heaven. I'm riding on the train up there. Glory be on Yahoo. But if we want to be an effective witness, an effective people to others and not just ourselves, we have to get out of ourselves. We have to. If we want to be an effective church, we have to go out and do things for others. In the church, out of the church, we can't just stay in these four walls. God's word calls us to so much more. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you have given us a huge task. And that we're called to care for others outside of ourselves. You have called us to many different things, and you've called us to get one simple task, to love one another. You've called older women to teach the younger women, older men to teach the younger men. You've called husbands to be head of the household. You've called the unmarried to remain pure. You have called us to guard our words. You've called us to pray for one another. When sometimes, God, we have trouble praying for ourselves. God, you've called us to love our enemy, to pray for them. You've told us to give with grateful heart. You've told us when somebody asks for one thing, give them another in addition to that one thing. God, my desire is to be an effective church. To be an effective pastor, shepherd, leader of this church. God, this is something I do not take lightly, and I do not want us to take our witness lightly and our Christian walk lightly. My desire today, Lord, is for you to draw us closer to that walk, closer to that life that represents you, closer to that love that reflects your love for us. God, you love us unconditionally. You love us just the way we came to you. For many, most of us, probably broken and hurting. God, would you just use your word to penetrate our hearts, to change our lives. Not to use my words, but your words, to change lives, draw us closer to you. As they sing your son's name. Amen.